اللسان واسمع الاذان وعلم الانسان وابدع الجمال. من انطق اللسان واسمع الاذان وعلم الانسان وابدع الجمال. ذاك العظيم في عنا من ابدع الكون سوى سبحان الله وبحمد الله ولا اله الا الله. ذاك العظيم في عنا
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh on this lovely Monday afternoon. And this is Marcus Ahaba Online Radio. Yes, indeed. Whether it's by choice or by chance, you are tuned into some of the foremost Islamic broadcasting content anywhere you're likely to find in the world today. We might not have the resources of Al Jazeera. We might not have a government commitment behind us like Saudi News or something like that. But we certainly don't have strings attached to us in any way whatsoever. Yeah, well, it's slimmer, it's trimmer. You know, keeps you on your toes a lot more. And yeah, it means you never really know what's going to be coming up on Marcus Ahaba Online Radio because, you know, there's always something going on somewhere in the Ummah, and usually it's not at all what it looks like. Oh boy, you know, like we've got the French coming into Lebanon at the moment to go and save Beirut. It's amazing how the French, the British, and the Americans love Muslims. You know, there the French are, oh, we must stand by to help. Yeah, to help ourselves. This is a fantastic opportunity to take advantage of someone else's misery. Yeah, that has been basically the main thrust of Western diplomacy for the last like 300, 400 years, exacerbating and taking advantage of other people's misery. I mean, if you look at the way they went about the fall of the Ottoman Empire, how Russia would attack from the east, and then Austria-Hungary would attack from the west, and then Britain and France would intervene and offer to help, you know, for a piece of the pie. But in many ways, you know, there's a lot of Turkish animosity towards the rest of Islam. Because, you know, the Arabs sold out to the British and the French during World War I and stabbed the Ottomans in the back. And as a result, they've been basically, you know, like, what's this, MBS, Mohammed bin Salman. He's a little toy of Queen Elizabeth. You know, she gives him a little, she got this little toy doll on her desk. She gives a little poke every now and then, and old MBS does as he's told, you know. Toys of the West. That's what most Islamic governments are nowadays. Toys of the West. Divided against ourselves. And it looks as though it's probably going to get worse, you know. We still have to reach that time when the Kaaba is going to be completely destroyed. And Makkah is going to be a ghost town. And people are going to ride past on their camels and say, Muslims used to live there. And then someone's going to say, what's a Muslim? Entirely possible. Yeah. Yes, a lot lies ahead of us. You're tuned into Business Matters with me, your host, Alameen Templeton, and we're going to be your broadcasting companions all the way until 5:30 this afternoon, inshallah. Man in the sound booth, keeping us modulated and regular, is Tobela Desamela. Yes, indeed. So, we're out there on point, riding the rail on behalf of the Ummah. We're told it's Women's Day. In fact, it's not even Women's Day. We're told it's Women's Month. Women's Month. I wonder which woman it is. Yeah. So, did you feel yourself empowered as a result of being a woman on Women's Day? What did you as a man do for Women's Day? Well, I'm quite sure there's a lot of feminist activists out there who are getting drunk out of their minds right now and congratulating each other on their cleverness. Yeah, really, you know, for me, I thought that this being Women's Day, it would be a good day to speak about the futility of individual rights in a class-stratified society. But I'm going to have to do so for a Muslim audience and not for a Western audience. I'm not going to pander to meaningless groupings of discombobulated individuals into commonalities that disempower them and empower the corporate sector. Now, you see, in my world, yes, I'm the host, Alameen Templeton. And that means, you know, for better or for worse, my kind of interpretation of the world kind of like does determine the content of the show. And I don't know if it would be presumptuous of me to say it's a unique basis of social inquiry and analysis. But basically, because, you know, I can't really say the idea is mine, because the idea, in actual fact, doesn't belong to me. In fact, the way I see the world, you see, Allah Ta'ala creates us in a state of need. We're born in a state of need. We're also born in a state of impatience. And in a way, you know, the demands of the world and the helpless situation that we're born into, you know, helpless little babies, unable to even to take our first cry without a slap on the bottom. We're born helpless into this world, but we're born impatient. We're born with a cry. We're in need of immediate help, you know. If a newborn baby doesn't get immediate help, you know, very soon it's going to be dead. So Allah Ta'ala creates us, puts us into this world in a state of need. But there are two main systems in this world. There's Allah Ta'ala's system and there's Shaitan's system. Quite simple, you know, there's nothing complicated about my social analysis. Allah Ta'ala's system is a system that is based on organic identity. Allah Ta'ala has created you, yourself, you as a specific individual. Allah Ta'ala has created you unique. It's not like a coincidence or a chance, you know. Every single human being is born unique. It really is utterly incredible, just like, you know, to sit back and consider fingerprints. And yet Allah Ta'ala doesn't just give us each individualized fingerprints. He gives us like a individualized identities and personalities. You know, we've got likes and wants, we've got strengths, we've got weaknesses. And Allah Ta'ala has given these things for a specific purpose, to be you. For you to be you, uniquely you, and to play your role. That your life is going to be, one of billions of lives that are coming together and forming part of Allah Ta'ala's story as He is unfolding it. And you need to live your life, you see. You can't live some other person's life. You have to remain constant to your soul. You must not forget who you are. Or as Allah Ta'ala speaks of the kafirun and those who try and mislead people from the straight path. He describes these people as people who have forgotten their souls. They have adopted a separate identity. They reckon that their idea of how they are and who they could be is far better than Allah Ta'ala's idea. You know, they've got pride in their hearts. They think they can do better than Allah Ta'ala. And they spend their lives striving to be something that they're not. They build up identities and personalities
that they actually believe. And they build up these identities. But, you know, the singular aspect about all of this, all these things that they build up about themselves is Allah Ta'ala is going to take them all away again. You know, all of these things that you add on to your idea of who you are, you surround yourself with them. You try and convince other people about them as well. You spend your life, a life's effort, building up a false identity. The thing about this false identity, it is all going to be taken away. You know, Allah Ta'ala has created us in a certain, as a certain being. And that is all we're going to be when we return to Him again on the day of Qiyamah. So through this life, Allah Ta'ala brings us into this life in a state of weakness, raises us to strength, gives us abilities, gives us things in our hands, gives us opportunities, and He wants to see what we're going to do with them. Are we going to use them to build our world or to build the world for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure? Are we going to recognize who we are and recognize our Creator? Is that the only way to remain constant to, and true to yourself? It's a remaining true to your origins. And we all originate from Allah Ta'ala. He is our Creator. And we are going to be returned to Him. And He wants to see what condition we return to Him in. So we have to remain true to our organic identity. That person who we were when we were in our mother's womb. Allah Ta'ala put the ruh into the embryo, into the fetus, 40 days after conception. So we all have 7 months and 10 days worth of lived experience in this dunya where we were in perfect contentment with Allah Ta'ala's decree. We didn't pretend to be someone else while we were in our mother's womb. We didn't desire for more than what Allah Ta'ala was providing us. We didn't feel insecure or inferior in any way. We didn't feel superior in any way. In fact, so completely in union, the taqwa, the connection that we had with Allah Ta'ala, the fear that we had for Allah Ta'ala was such that we didn't even know ourselves. We only knew Allah Ta'ala. And that was all we wanted. We didn't want anything more. We didn't think, oh, this food I'm getting today isn't nice. I prefer something else. I wish I hadn't been born into this family. I wish I had richer parents. I wish I had a nicer car, you know. I wish I had a room with a view. We were perfectly content. Yes. And Allah Ta'ala brings us into this world in a family. And the family is Allah Ta'ala's system that is going to protect us and look after us. And in turn, if we look after our family and we care for our family ties, then Allah Ta'ala will look after us and our family. And that is Allah Ta'ala's system. It's simple. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. Allah Ta'ala gives us one Allah, He gives us one ruh, and He gives us one family. And therein must we find our identity. Shaitani's system wants to take us out of that family, wants to take us away from that family. And, beyond the walls of the home is a wider society. And in this wider society, this is where Shaitan very often travels unchallenged. In this wider society, in this world that we have today, in Allah Ta'ala's system, those family ties and keeping those family ties organically means that clan consciousness develops. You know who your uncles and your aunties are. You know who your cousins are. You know who your brothers and sisters are, and you remained in contact with them. You grow up and you keep your ties. And the closer you keep your ties and the more you work them with business so that you're working together on a daily basis, the stronger your family is going to be and the more you're going to protect it from the outside world. Many of us find ourselves in this world where our extended family ties have been destroyed. You know, there's war and all of these kinds of things. They're repeatedly uprooting us, breaking down established systems of ways of doing business or ways of communicating with each other. And, you know, you're there repeatedly after wars, you find individuals coming together and then having to try and rebuild their society. You know, and all of that requires cooperation. It requires mobilization on a mass basis. In a Latala system, that mobilization is handled by the clan. It's handled by our family elders. It's handled by Mashura. All of these things. Democratic principles written into it everywhere you can find. And more so, I would say, than what you have in the Western nuclear family system. This is a Shaitani system. In fact, you look at the you look at the Western system and you can say, look there, you see, this is how Shaitan works. He wants to pull you out of the family. He wants to focus on individual rights. He wants to splinter your organic matrix. He wants to break it up so that you become unaware of your family and you don't live in your family. And instead, you find yourself then an individual in the midst of a sea of individuals. And there in that sea of alienation, you're now going to have to try and find your identity. And as soon as that starts happening, as soon as you get a society where the extended family ties have been broken, you get class stratification happening. You know, rich people start gathering together with rich people because they've got money, they can get things done. Poor people go and hang out in the millions with other poor people. And there, because they're helpless, you know, there's no family, extended family to protect them. They need to be protected. Then you get a different kind of class consciousness impacting on us. Now we must start thinking of ourselves in terms of the mass rather than who we are. We must think of ourselves in terms of men and women, you know. And, you know, the presumption is that all of us women will get together and we'll work for our commonality and our rights. Never happens. Never, 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 it never happens. How do you feel as a woman if you're a woman today and you woke up? Did you feel your rights like sort of being promoted? How often have you gone out as a woman and gone and demanded your rights as a woman? I'll tell you something. As in all of these rights, these so-called rights that are protected by our constitution, the only real way that you're going to exercise these rights is by joining the corporate level. You see, the corporation becomes the veil that hijacks the mobilization sector of society, there where we come together in mass, in numbers. We would come together in this so-called united in strength. United together we stand, you know. That is where Shaitan comes in with his corporation and he hijacks it. Whether you call the corporation Anglo-American, whether you call the corporation the ANC, whether you call the corporation Kasatu or Fedhasa or whatever, whether you call the corporation the medical aid or the pension fund, or power, woman opposed to woman abuse. The only way you as a woman are going to exercise your rights as a woman is by forming a corporation and going out there and getting a few bucks for yourself. You can even do it as a man, you know. You can go and form a woman's organization and go make money out of it. But that's really, in essence, in terms of, you know, if you want to be a consumer and protect your consumer rights and exercise them fully, then you can do it. You go and form a consumer corporation, a consumer organization, and then you get money. And that's how you do it. But as a consumer individual, buddy, you're on your own. Anyway, more about this. Women's Day, women's rights, and all the other things that mean absolutely nothing in the world. After these few commercial messages, we have the Asr Azan coming up in just a few moments.